Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. So glad to have you with us here. We are reading the Word. Last time, when we had the chance to assemble around the radio, we began a study where we're looking at the song called The Great Judgment Morning. And what we're doing is we're taking verses of this song and we're analyzing them, and then we're ultimately holding it up to the Word of God, and we're seeing what does God's Word actually say. And then we're letting that be the standard for our lives. So last week we talked about the judgment, which was verse 1, and the fact that your riches don't help, and that's verse 2. So today we will begin verse 3 and hopefully get through verse 4 as well. So join with me as we read the Word. Go ahead and open your Bible to James chapter 1. That's where we will be here in just a minute. But first, let's read verse number 3. Of the song, The Great Judgment Morning, and I've titled this one, Those That Are Neglected. The song says, The widow was there with the orphans. God heard and remembered their cries. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there and the drunkard, and the man who had sold them the drink, with the people who gave him the license. Together in hell they did sink. Well, friends, I've titled this one, Those Neglected, for one simple reason, and that widows and orphans, as we begin our verse, the widow is there with the orphans. Too many times in the world, my friends, widows and orphans are overlooked. You know, we talked about Philip last week in Acts chapter 8 and his interactions there in Samaria and his interactions with Simon the sorcerer. One of the works that Philip did in Acts chapter 6 was to help care for the widows of the church. Because if you're a widow, especially in Old Testament time, you had no husband, you had nobody to fend for you, and especially if you had no male children, you were basically left alone. That's why it was the church's job to help take care of you. And we see orphans fall into the same category. But something else I like, not only does God remember the widows and the orphans, friends, but he also wipes the tears away from their eyes. That shows the ultimate compassion upon these people from Almighty God. But also, once you notice, according to the verse, who's there? Not only the widows and orphans and those overlooked, but friends, you can also apply the title of those overlooked to the ones that maybe help facilitate or participate in sinful actions. Because the latter part of the verse says, the gambler was there and the drunkard, and the man who had sold him the drink, together with the people who gave him the license, together in hell. They did sink. Notice who's there. Not only is it the sinner or the one that's the gambler or the one that's the drunkard, but also those that permitted the sin or those that sold the tickets or the alcohol or those that granted the license to carry out these sinful actions. Friends, they're all right there because they're all guilty because they had a chance to stop it, but they kept it going. Well, what does the Bible say? Because that is our ultimate standard in life. James chapter 1, verse 27. I'm reading from the King James translation, by the way. James says that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Friends, it is a biblical command. 3 points there, James chapter 1. If you want pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, James 1:27. Number one, you visit the fatherless. Well, you could also call the fatherless orphans. That's another synonym there. He says, visit the orphans. Visit the widows in their affliction, and also keep himself unspotted from the world. Friends, about 5 years ago, I had a Facebook friend request from a gentleman who said he was a Christian. I believed him. He's a preacher somewhere like India. I don't think it was India, but it was somewhere like it. And he sent me a friend request, and I added him. I didn't know him, but I added him. And then he asked me, sent me a message right away and says, greeting, brother. And we started talking about the congregations where we serve. And then he said, do you support orphanages? And do you support widows? And I said, yes, I do. James 1:27 is my biblical command to do so. And he didn't. I haven't heard back from him in that 4 or 5 or 6 years, however long it's been. Why? Because I didn't give him the answer that he was looking for. He was wanting me to say no. He was wanting me to go on his side. But friends, I can't be on that side. Why? Because James 1:27 says, I have to take care of the widows. I have to take care of the orphans, and I have to keep myself unspotted from the world. That's not Justin Reed's prerogative. That's thus saith the Lord. What else do we learn from the Bible? Well, we need to have the confidence that when we pray, God hears our prayers. Because verse 3 of that song says, God heard and remembered their cries. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Friends, we, if we're faithful, can say the same thing, have the same level of confidence, but that's only if we're faithful. What's one other biblical thought on this one? Well, in heaven, and I love this. Friends, in heaven there's going to be no need for tears because all the things that cause tears are gone. Revelation 21, really starting in verse 4, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. He's talking about being in heaven. He tells us that in verse 2. But in verse 4, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all the former things are passed away. Towards the end of verse 5, write these things because they're true and they're faithful. Friends, there have been many a times where I have been called upon to do a funeral service for a loved one or a member of the congregation or just a friend. And you get to know in the undertakers in this line of work. And so usually standing around at the graveside as everybody's crying, I'll lean over and I'll say, Ronnie, or whoever the undertaker is, I'll say, Ronnie, no offense to you, but you're not going to have a job in heaven because there is no more death. There's no more pain. You won't buy Kleenex. There's no puffs or whatever facial tissue you use. All of these things are passed away. They're left on this earth. Friends, also one other thing we quickly need to note is that all liars, all sinners are going to be cast out. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and that'd be a long list enough, but then he says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So sometimes those that are overlooked, even though they have participated in sinful actions, they will also have to suffer their consequences. That's verse 3 of the Great Judgment Morning. We're going to have to take a quick break. Stick around on the other side of this break. We will continue and finish this sermon here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
We would be honored if you would visit us any chance that you have here at the Wood Church of Christ. I want to thank Brother Dearman for that wonderful message. Also gave me a chance to catch my breath. Let's keep going. What are we doing? We are going to finish looking at the song, The Great Judgment Morning. We've looked at verses 1, 2, and 3. There are four verses of the song and a chorus. So let's look at verse 4 now of the song, The Great Judgment Morning. And the lyrics say, the moral man came to the judgment, but self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as moral men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time to think of religion. At last, they'd found time to die. Friends, the good and the bad, they're both present. No one escapes. Even think about it. Those men some 2,000 years ago that orchestrated and physically helped kill our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, they're there. And I like the way the song puts it because they passed off as moral men. They looked to be doing good, doing right in the eyes of the world, but we know the truth. We know they were not. And friends, to me it is bone-chilling to think about how many people utter the statement, or something akin to it, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by, no time now to think of religion. And then that last line of this song is so true, but at last they found time to die. Friends, today is the day of salvation, as the song says, because tomorrow may be too late. Let's go to God's Word. Two examples from the book of Acts will suffice on this one. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 27. We're going to learn about Felix, because the Bible says, now Paul is being tried before Felix, and then before his successor Festus as well, but first comes Felix. And after certain days, verse 24, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled, and he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Friends, what do we learn here? Felix was preached a gospel sermon. Now, I don't have word for word what Paul preached, but since he preached to him about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, it might sound like the sermon I'm attempting to deliver to you right now, because I'm trying to tell you about righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. But regardless, I know the result, because Felix was pricked in his heart. He is upset. He knows what to do, but he says, "Go your way, Paul. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you." Now, here's the sad part. He's mentioned once again in verse 27, and then after that, there's no more biblical record of Felix. As far as I know, according to God's word, that more convenient season never came. Oh, how I bet he wished he would have changed that. Let's look at one other example. Don't be like Felix. Also, don't be like Agrippa. Acts 26, Paul is giving a great defense for his life against King Agrippa. He's recounted some of his conversion. He has preached to him of the gospel. In verse 27 of Acts 26, Paul says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" He says, "I know you believe." And Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. But friends, almost persuaded is 100% lost. You can't be an almost Christian and be pleasing to God. Friends, you would not delay the most important decision of your life. Why would you purposely delay not being faithful to God one more day? Because I don't know when the great judgment morning is going to come. I know it's going to happen, but I don't know when. Only God in heaven knows when. And if you say, "Well, I will get my life right next year." What if next year doesn't come for you? Or if you say, "Well, I'll wait till next week," friends, what if next week doesn't come for you? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to say some things of truth and love. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, speak the truth in love. Ephesians 2, I'm trying to do that. I'm not trying to scare you. Friends, the refrain or the chorus of the song was actually sang after every verse, but I felt it important just to include it here at the end. "And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains, they prayed, but their prayer was too late." Friends, the judgment day will come, and it will cause a lot of people to be upset, especially once they realize it is too late for them. It'll be the saddest day of their lives. But friends, you're hearing me, which means you have the chance. It does not have to be the saddest day of your life if you live faithful to the Lord. Without a shadow of a doubt, if you wait till then, it will be too late. Jesus says in Luke 13:3 and also verse 5, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Matthew 10:32-33 says, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before God the Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you." Friends, you either obey God or you're lost. There's not a, "Well, I was 50% there. I was almost a Christian." That does not count. "I was almost faithful." That does not count. Friends, do you dread the judgment day? Don't be. That's a glorious day. If you've been found faithful unto the end, John tells us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, that if you are faithful to the very end, then you receive that crown of life. Which means the judgment day should be a happy day, a joyous day, a celebratory day for you. But if you're dreading it, friends, you need to make your life right now. And then you need to continue to live your life right, because you don't know when he's coming back. To make your life right, you've got to obey him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and then you remain faithful unto death. If you've not done that, please reach out to us. We'd love to assist you. I'd love to put you in contact with somebody that can help. You also need to keep remaining faithful, because once you've been baptized, it's not once and done. It's once, and then you've started your journey for the rest of your life. Friends, that concludes the sermon, The Great Judgment Morning. If you want to hear these again or get notes to this, it's all on my website, thejustinreedshow.com. That's thejustinreedshow.com. And then you just click on the page where it says Bible Resources. And I'd love to put this information into your hands. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you can join us again next time as we will begin a brand new study here on Reading the Word. Until then, leave you with a passage from Numbers chapter 6. May the good Lord bless you. May he keep you. and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.